They're pushing out everything they can for a covenant right now. Before George Bush leaves office in 2009. And I believe that he is wanting to have some kind of fame in history here. But let me read this article to you, why, several reasons why I say this, and what they're doing as far as not only making natural Israel give up their land, but spiritual Israel give up their land. There's, like I said, a convergence of a lot of things here. You know, the closer we get to the end, the more the types and the shadows catch up to the natural. Because at the end, everything is going to come together. Well, Debka File has an article that they entitled U.S. Secretary Rice Meets First Stumbling Blocks in Jerusalem as She Begins Her Middle East Peace Shuttle Sunday. Again, I don't believe that what they're going to be able to do on November the 26th is make a peace covenant. I just believe that once you force Israel into giving up something, then they're going to end up having to give it up later on. Okay, so I think that they're laying the groundwork here, you know. First of all, I believe that the world is going to join with America in this covenant in the UN. And that's where I think the troubles that are going to come because America is pushing Israel to give up her land and spiritual Israel to give up her land. The troubles that are going to come from that are going to cause people to make that covenant. Okay, so let me read this to you. She told reporters, that is Secretary Rice, aboard her flight that she has no expectations of a breakthrough. And no wonder. She found Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert fighting the backlash among his Kadima and other coalition ministers by stepping away from Vice PM Haim Ramon and his unpopular proposals for meeting Palestinian demands on Jerusalem and the refugees. Yeah, they want the, his idea was, and which is opening a Pandora's box, you know, his idea was, yeah, we'll go back to pre-67 boundaries, we'll give up part of Jerusalem, and we'll give the right of return to the Palestinians. Well, you know, whenever you do anything like that, they smell blood. You know, they're licking their chops. They know, okay, we got that much. We'll just hold out for more. You know, we'll fight for more. But we've got that much. That's ours. Once they mention it, it's all over. I mean, I've noticed. I've watched over the years. They expect it. Once you've mentioned it, it's not no longer it's a negotiating chip. They expect it, you know. And Olmert told the minister Sunday that he had replaced Ramon with Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni as head of Israel's negotiating team. She, along with Defense Minister Ehud Barak and several other ministers, had promised to vote down Ramon's plans if they were tabled. Now, of course, she's going over there to do just the opposite. She's going over there to twist their arm and make them give up exactly what Ramon and them were speaking about. Olmert went on to say he did not see the presentation of a joint statement of principles on core issues as a precondition for the November 26th peace conference in Annapolis, Maryland, thereby rejecting this Palestinian demand. He also knocked over another Palestinian preset timeline for the start and finish of final status talks. Well, America wants a preset timeline. They want to get this thing over with. The Bush administration wants to get this thing done. They want to get it sewed up by the end of 2008 before he leaves office. Debka File reports, a time limit for real progress is also a key feature of Rice's peace conference plan. In her bid for President George W. Bush's sponsorship of the conference, she promised him an event that produced a historic success in time for him to bow out of office on a high note. She promised him. Now, how could she promise him? What is she planning to do? Well, she's over there twisting arms. And she's going to make them give up what they've never even thought about giving up. And, of course, this is the covenant that they're trying to make. The U.S. Secretary also dangled a timeline for peace negotiations as part of her pitch to overcome the reluctance of Arab rulers to attend the event. She assured them practical solutions on core issues of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict would be exhaustively addressed within a given time frame. To make good on her pledges, Rice will need to bulldoze the Israeli prime minister into more amenable positions, else the Arab governments and possibly even the Palestinians will boycott Annapolis. Yep, she is going to make them give up land in Jerusalem. Go back to 67 boundaries. Olmert is, meanwhile, fighting to hold his government together. He is also poaching for support in the constituencies in the right-wing parties Likud, Israel Beitenu, and Shas, and is in case he is forced into an early election. The publication in the coming weeks of the final report by the Lebanon War Probe, led by Judge Winograd, could, for instance, precipitate a national poll. Fresh from a bruising encounter with Russian leaders in Moscow, Rice has given herself 5 days of shuttling between Jerusalem, Ramallah, Amman, and Cairo to push Israelis and Palestinians far enough along the road to consensus to give the Annapolis Conference a chance. Guess what? Do you know that there is a fairly large group of people out there that do not want any peace between Israel and Arabs? Wonder what they're going to do about this. Wonder what they're going to do since a large portion of Saudi Arabia and the people that are educated there under their religious system, you know. Wonder what they're going to do about this. What about the Osama bin Ladens and people like that? They don't want to see this. They don't want to see a peace covenant between the Arabs and Israel. They just want to fight until there is no Israel. So I don't doubt that we still got an attack coming here, you know, to try to ward this off. So if there is an attack, we already know what's going to happen is this war is going to happen anyway. America's already said, the Bush administration's already said, if they are hit, they're going to attack Iran. And I don't doubt that they'll do the political thing and let Israel go first. But anyway, we'll see how it works out. She started by delivering the Israeli prime minister a scolding before they got together, answering a question about Israel's expropriation of land between Jerusalem and Mala Adunim. I'm not really good at pronouncing all these. She said, "We have to be very careful as we are trying to move towards the establishment of a Palestinian state about actions and statements that erode confidence in the party's commitment to a two-state solution." Barak, who met the visiting U.S. secretary before traveling to Washington for his first visit as a defense minister, said that Israel will insist on reserving the right to defend its security in a future Palestinian state. He's also on record as stating any significant West Bank pullouts would require anti-rocket systems first to be in place to intercept missiles and rockets deployed by Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, and fired by Palestinian terrorists. Uh-huh. So now, you see what they're planning on doing, right? They're going to twist arms. They're going to force them into this covenant. As a conquering nation, they're going to force them into this covenant, like they own Israel, you see. Of course, I'm going to tell you, that's going to bring judgment on the United States. God promised that land, naturally speaking, to them. And every time that America has attempted to make Israel give up land, we have gotten a terrible spanking over here. Here's another one. U.S. sources dwarf peril of Syrian nuclear-targeted bomb by Israel last month. They aim to clear way for resumed Washington-Syrian dialogue. See, they need Syrian to make this covenant. They need Syria to make this covenant. And so they've just backed out of everything that they just got through doing, you know. Watch. The Bush administration plan for direct talks with Syria was first disclosed by Deb Kefauver Saturday. The New York Times quotes U.S. and foreign officials with with access to the intelligence reports as claiming that Israel struck a partly constructed reactor. Well, they pretty well agreed on this now, that they were building a reactor, a Korean-type style reactor, and Israel went in there and took it out. And, of course, at the time, the U.S. had even given them the technology to do this, to escape their radar and confuse their radar. It was American technology, and they went in there and did it, and I think they were happy about it. But then they realized, oh, now we need Syria to come in and make this covenant. So it goes on to say, it would have been years, they say, this is them crawfishing, before the Syrians could have used it to produce spent nuclear fuel. The same sources say it was modeled on the Yongbyon reactor, but termed the role played by North Korea as unclear. Well, they know it was clear because they took out a Korean ship on the way over there that was supplying it. They took one of them out. They turned another one around. It wasn't unclear to them at all. See, so they're just trying to make it easy on Syria. You know, don't want to ruffle their feathers, you know. Debka files military and intelligence sources refute these claims as incorrect. The U.S. sources who opposed the Israeli strike are now pressing their case that it was preemptive and that the Syrian project posed no urgent threat to Middle East or therefore to the U.S. interests. To this end, these Washington sources are downplaying the value of Israel intelligence and the need for an air attack. There has been no official comment by the U.S. or Israel on the report. However, the new version fits in with Washington's latest policy departure of pacifying the radical Assad regime in Damascus and investing every possible effort towards enlarging Arab participation in the coming Middle East peace conference. And also they're going to sell Lebanon down the road too. So let me read that part to you. It says, in advance of Rice's Middle East visit, Washington warns Olmert that its dialogue with Damascus is about to resume. See, they consider Israel as the state of Israel, one of the United States, right? Our Washington and Middle East sources report the secret U.S. message warns Israeli Prime Minister that the Bush administration has decided to go back to direct diplomacy with Syria during or before the International Peace Conference opening in Annapolis on November the 26th. The level of the resumed talks has not yet been determined. The U.S. ambassador may be sent back to Damascus to lead his country's delegation in face-to-face meetings with Syrian officials. Repeating the pattern and level, the U.S. Iranian ambassador talks in Baghdad, which Debka file notes have so far produced nothing. Okay, to calm Israel's unease about a U.S.-Syrian track running over its head, the American message assured Prime Minister Ehud Olmert that matters of concern to Israel, such as the future of Golan, will not be addressed, only such issues as Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon. The American note was delivered as Secretary of State Condoleezza prepares to visit Jerusalem and Ramallah Sunday, October the 12th. The Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak is due to pay a working visit to the Pentagon. Even so, the White House's change of heart on Syria puts the U.S.-Israeli strategic cooperation on a different, uncertain footing, say Debka files political sources. Officials in Jerusalem are getting worried about Israel being seriously outnumbered and outweighed to the point of isolation at the peace conference. They find it hard to tell whether the Bush administration is using the dialogue offer as bait to tempt Assad to attend the Annapolis conference and so prod the Saudis and Egyptians to come too, or has greater significance. In any event, an ongoing U.S.-Syrian dialogue would give the substantial Muslim Arab bloc invited to the conference an extra boost. 12 Arab League members, as well as Malaysia, Indonesia, and Pakistan, have been invited, although not all have responded so far. The Syrian president's last-minute decision to be there after his insistent denials could induce a further element of friction to the conference. While Assad might not go so far as to pack the Syrian delegation with heads of Palestinian groups branded as terrorists by the United States, such as Hamas, Jihad Islami, who he harbors in Damascus, he is quite capable of sending over Palestinian enemies of Mahmoud Abbas and Salem Fayyad, such as the radical Fatah Intifada and the Palestinian fronts. Beirut is getting as jumpy as Jerusalem about the Bush administration's advanced move for the conference in Maryland, according to Debka Files' Middle East sources. Yeah, they had just promised them an airfield there and a presence, an American presence there, right next to Syria, and they figured, well, they were going to be defended. Now they're crawfishing from everything, see. Saad Hariri, leader of the anti-American March 14th major coalition in the Lebanese parliament, returned from his October 4th talks at the White House deeply disappointed. George Bush told him that while the U.S. was committed to building up Lebanese army as a shield for the pro-Western government in Beirut, he would not back the anti-Syrian army chief, General Michel Suleiman's, run for the presidency. In other words, the people they were backing, they're not backing because they're trying to curry favor with the Syrians, right? The president urged Lebanon's anti-Syrian leaders to carry on working for a political compromise of the national crisis through deals with Syria and Hezbollah. Hariri was not told of the U.S. president's decision to launch direct talks with Damascus before he left for home. Even Hezbollah's leaders are worried. They fear Washington-Damascus talks will end in a Syrian sellout at their expense. So nobody is trusting America, folks. Listen to this. If you don't think that America is really pushing this thing, pushing people out of their land, listen to this. This is October 16th by Aaron Klein, WorldNet Daily. Jerusalem. The evacuation the past few days of five makeshift Jewish communities in the West Bank was micromanaged behind the scenes by the U.S. government, WND has learned. Folks, that's the thing that's always brought judgment in the past, exactly what they're doing there. Israeli police, backed by the Israeli Defense Forces, clashed in recent days with Jewish activists and West Bank Jewish residents while destroying the five small outposts the government deemed illegal because construction was not coordinated with proper housing authorities. They got an excuse. The outposts, erected alongside existing legal West Bank Jewish communities, were first built September the 30th during the Jewish Sukkot holidays. Israel strictly enforces regulations against Jewish building in the West Bank, while hundreds of thousands of illegal Palestinian outposts have been constructed the past few years. That includes massive apartment complexes and refugee camps on hundreds of acres of land in Jerusalem owned by the Jewish National Front, a fund, a Jewish nonprofit that uses donor funds to purchase property for Jewish settlements. In other words, the Arabs are getting to use property that was bought for Jewish settlements. And all this is political arm twisting here that's doing this. Four of the five new makeshift West Bank Jewish communities were evacuated by Israeli forces last week. Meanwhile, police are still struggling to uproot the final outpost named Shavuot Ami, Hebrew for Return of My People. It's interesting. They're not returning, are they? They're rooting them out, aren't they? Activists and police authorities clashed yesterday at the community located near the Jewish town of Kedumen. Israel National News reported the Israeli police brutalized several Jewish activists while attempting to evacuate the small community. We're going down a little bit here. Palestinian and Israeli diplomatic sources speaking to WND today said the evacuation of the five West Bank communities was heavily micromanaged by officers of the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem. It's America pushing this to save their own hide. One Palestinian official said that at one point last week, Palestinian Authority officials were calling into the U.S. consulate several times per hour to report on the Israeli evacuation. Quote, "We don't credit Prime Minister Ehud Olmert for destroying these illegal outposts. This was done under the strict orders of the U.S. government," said a Palestinian official involved in Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. The reported U.S. Management comes as Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is in the region to prepare for an Israeli-Palestinian summit next month, in which Israel is expected to outline a future Palestinian state in most of the West Bank and sections of Jerusalem. Rice yesterday stated in a press conference outside the compound of Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas that U.S. was deeply invested in an agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. Yes, they're working very, very hard, doing a lot of arm twisting. And the head of the UN beast is the one that's doing it, folks. Just as Daniel's vision reveals. The great eagle is the one doing it, folks, just like the scripture says. The United States sees the establishment of a Palestinian state and a two-state solution as absolutely essential for the future, not just of Palestinians and Israelis, but also for the Middle East and, indeed, to American interests, Rice said. That's really a message that I think only I can deliver, she added. In other words, she is a real good arm twister, right? Yesterday, WND quoted Palestinian officials stating Rice told them she would pressure Israel against initiating any Jewish construction in eastern sections of Jerusalem. She is going to give it up. Right? She's going to give it to them. A senior Palestinian negotiator stated Rice singled out Jerusalem areas as becoming part of a future Palestinian state, and told his negotiating team she would publicly, listen to this, what she said, she would publicly blame Israel for the failure of next month's U.S.-sponsored summit in Maryland if the Jewish state didn't agree to evacuate eastern Jerusalem neighborhoods. See, they're acting as though Israel is a conquered state. And I tell you, folks, what they're doing to take away, you know, like the Golan Heights and things, the strategic position that they have to defend themselves, are doing everything to do away with that. Rice's comments were followed by an Olmert speech in which the Israeli Prime Minister hinted he would withdraw from parts of Jerusalem by asking whether it was necessary to retain certain Arab communities. Quote, "Was it necessary to also add the Shufat refugee camp, Sawakra, and other villages and define them as part of Jerusalem? On that, I must confess, I am not convinced." He really wasn't arguing very hard, was he? Stated Olmert. Speaking of a special Knesset session to mark the 6th anniversary of the assassination of former government minister Zevi, who drew up the 1967 map. What they're saying, folks, you know, what Bush is saying, is I don't believe the Bible, in that God gave this land to Israel. He's saying he doesn't believe that. He is not acting in agreement with the Bible at all. Not saying that God's not using him. I know he is. See, the great thing about our God is that he rules over vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Many very foolish Christians think that President Bush is a vessel of honor. And nothing could be further from the truth. He's being used contrary to Scripture. Well, things are not working quite according to their plan. Let me share something with you here. It's not going to happen here in November. That covenant is not going to happen here in November. But they're going to gain some concessions. They're going to do some arm twisting. They're going to gain some concessions. And they're going to lay the groundwork for a covenant to come, I believe, after this war. The U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has been shuttling, all week between Israel and the Palestinians with a stopover in Cairo in a bid to forge a joint document substantial enough to convene a Middle East conference in Maryland before the end of 2007. She was warned by all the officials she encountered that no starting point for final status negotiations on the Palestinian state, and therefore no agreed document, was within reach. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, Middle East Special Envoy Tony Blair, and U.S. diplomatic and military envoys working with the Palestinian Authority, all these were basically saying it ain't going to happen. Okay, the horizon for fulfilling the Bush vision of a two-state solution proved to be as distant as ever. No, not quite, because they're gaining concessions, constantly gaining concessions. There were general agreement on all sides, according to Debbie Files' political sources, that Mahmoud Abbas and Salem Fayyad are incapable of solidifying their grip on power or combating Palestinian terror as required by the Middle East roadmap. The U.S. Secretary also discovered that, notwithstanding her denials, Abbas is conducting secret, indirect contacts with Hamas. Whatever the outcome of the Annapolis conference, if it goes ahead, he is determined to lead his Fatah party into negotiations with Hamas for a united national government and reconstruct the Gaza-West Bank link, which was severed in June when Hamas drove the Fatah-dominated Palestinian Authority out of the Gaza Strip. Debkafal's Jerusalem sources report that top Israeli government levels and visiting U.S. officials are deeply anxious lest the Secretary of State's decisions in the light of her setback generate a serious crisis in relations between the Bush administration and the Israeli government. Yes, this is coming, folks, because if you remember Jeremiah 25, you know, it was Babylon, the great eagle, that brought the cup of wrath to Jerusalem, to Israel. So, her last meetings were fixed for Wednesday afternoon with Olmert and Minister Livni, leader of the Israeli negotiating team. Sources familiar with the U.S. Secretary's schedule believe that in the next few hours, she must decide how to present the outcome of her mission to President Bush. They see three options. She can advise the President to postpone the International Peace Conference in Annapolis to a later date, or cancel the event in view mainly of the flat unwillingness of Arab rulers to put in an appearance. Washington will then have to decide whom to blame for the fiasco. Rice will propose an American-authored document for presentation to the conference. This would be tantamount to imposing a settlement on Israel and the Palestinians. Tantamount to imposing a settlement on Israel and the Palestinians. And be bound to produce a clash between the Bush administration and the Olmert government over the radical Israeli concessions required for bringing the Arab parties to the conference. Well, of course, America's not giving up anything. They want Israel to give everything up, you know. You know, I don't usually share stuff like this because I know that there has never been a Christian nation. I know, according to the scriptures, there's never been a Christian nation. And except for New Testament spiritual Israel. That's the only Christian nation that the Bible says there ever was or ever will be. As a matter of fact, he said, talking to God's people, that they will be hated of all nations. So that's all nations, including America, against God's nation, which is New Testament spiritual Israel. So there are, in the history of America, there have been many professors of Christianity, especially when it comes to politics, even way back. I mean, our history is just as perverted, I think, as a lot of other nations. With all that in mind, let me read something to you that Andy Rooney wrote, okay? If you don't think that Christians are giving up their land, listen to this. If you don't think, let me say, that the great eagle is forcing Christians to give up their land. Listen to this, by Andy Rooney. He said, did you know, as you walk up the steps of the building which houses the U.S. Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers, and each one is facing one in the middle who is facing forward with a full frontal view. It is Moses. and he is holding the Ten Commandments. Did you know, as you enter the Supreme Court courtroom, the two huge oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of each door? Did you know, as you sit inside the courtroom, you can see the wall right above where the Supreme Court judges sit, a display of the Ten Commandments? And did you know, there are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and the monuments in Washington, D.C. Did you know James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement? We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And did you know Patrick Henry, that patriot and founding father of our country, said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know every session of Congress begins with a prayer by a paid preacher whose salary has been paid by the taxpayer since 1777? And did you know 52 of the 55 founders of the Constitution were members of the established Orthodox churches in the colonies? And did you know Thomas Jefferson worried that the courts would overstep their authority and instead of interpreting the law would begin by making law, an oligarchy, the rule of few over many? And did you know the very first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers? And he goes on to say, how then have we gotten to the point that everything we have done for 220 years in this country is now suddenly wrong and unconstitutional? Listen to what he said, suddenly wrong and unconstitutional. See, they're turning against everything that their forefathers have professed. I'm not saying that they were Christians, because a lot of things they did were not Christian and not biblical at all. But as politicians, they knew it was popular to say these things. So Andy makes a really good point here. How come all of a sudden? Well, I'll tell you why all of a sudden. It's because the beast is taking over America. It is said that 86% of Americans believe in God. Therefore, it's very hard to understand why there is such a mess about having the Ten Commandments on display or In God We Trust on our money and having God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Why don't we just tell the other 14% to sit down and shut up? Well, I just ask you to pay attention. What is really happening here? You know, is it just the Jews giving up their land, being forced to give up their land by the great eagle? Or are the Christians too being forced to give up their land? You know, here's an example. Listen to this. The beast is taking land from the Christians. I mean, what is physical is also spiritual. You know, first of all, the Bible says, all things are yours. You know that our Father owns this planet. We are His princes. He says, all things are yours. And He says, we're joint heirs with Christ, right? And so who's taking the planet now here? Who is taking the land that belongs to spiritual Israel? You know? The same thing is happening here. You think that the judgment that's happening whenever America forces Israel to give up land is just that? Natural? No, because all around, the same thing has happened with spiritual Israel. Same exact thing. God is showing us there's a converging of these two, of the type with the fulfillment. There's a converging of it. And listen to this. Ban on mom and dad sparks call for exodus. Public districts no longer are safe environment for children. Well, amen to that. We figured that out a long time ago. My wife and I, we raised our kids. You know, we homeschooled them. We figured the Bible said, commanded us to raise them up in the way they should go. That is not, doesn't mean you give them over to the government to raise them up. And so our oldest is 36 years old. And, She was homeschooled, all but, pre-K, I think she went to, in a Christian school. And the rest of it, from then on, all five of our kids were all homeschooled. Because even back then, we didn't believe they were capable of educating our children. You know, and so let me read on. A call is being issued to Christians who have been engaged in the culture wars in California schools to abandon the system after Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law a ban on discriminatory bias against homosexuals and others with alternative sexual lifestyles. We're calling upon every California parent to pull their child out of California's public school system, Randy Thomason, president of Campaign for Children and Families, told WND. The so-called public schools are no longer a safe emotional environment for children. Under the new law, school children as young as kindergartners will be sexually indoctrinated and introduced to homosexuality, bisexuality, transsexuality, and over the protests of parents, teachers, and even school districts, he said. The law at issue went through the California legislature as SB 777, and now bans in school texts and activity any discriminatory bias against those who have chosen alternative sexual lifestyles. Meredith Turney, legislative liaison for Capital Resource Institute, said, "There are no similar protections for students with traditional or conservative lifestyles and beliefs. However, offenders will face the wrath of the State Department of Education, up to and including lawsuits. SB 777 will result in reverse discrimination against students with religious and traditional family values. These students have lost their voice as a direct result of Governor Schwarzenegger's unbelievable decision. The terms mom and dad or husband and wife could promote discrimination against homosexuals if a same-sex couple is not also featured." Quote, "Parents want the assurance that when their children go to school, they will learn the fundamentals of reading, writing, and arithmetic, not social indoctrination regarding alternative sexual lifestyles. Now that SB 777 is law, schools will, in fact, become indoctrination centers for sexual experimentation," she said. Karen England, chief of CRI, told WND that the law is not a list of banned words, including mom and dad. But, she said, the requirement is that the law bans discriminatory bias, and the effect will be a ban of such terminology. Having mom and dad promotes a discriminatory bias. You have to either get rid of mom and dad or include everything when talking about parental issues, she said. They, that is the promoters of sexual alternative lifestyles, do consider that discriminatory. There will be no exemptions to this indoctrination, Thomason said. Private schools and homeschools will be the only sanctuary left for parents in California who love their children and want to protect their sexual innocence for the time being. For the time being, just remember that. Now I'm going to pull up something else here, another article, read you just a piece of it. It says, and I'll come back to this one. This is about the SB 777. Further, homecoming kings now can be either male or female, as can homecoming queens. And students, whether male or female, must be allowed to use the restrooms and locker room corresponding to the sex with which they choose to identify. Well, you talk about a sick bunch here, boy. I tell you, this is a sick bunch. And it goes on, it also creates the circumstances where a parent who says marriage is only for a man or a woman in the presence of a lesbian teacher could be convicted of harassment, and a student who believes people are born either male or female could be reported as a harasser by a male teacher who wears women's clothes. Yeah, we understand that. Affected will be daycares, preschool, or after-school programs. food and housing programs, senior services, anti-gang efforts, jobs programs, and others. Thomason said, it also forces every hospital in California, every private religious hospitals, even private religious hospitals, to adopt policies in support of transsexuality, bisexuality, and homosexuality, and opens up nonprofit organizations to lawsuits if they exclude members that engage in homosexual, bisexual, or transsexual conduct. So churches wouldn't be able to keep these people out. It's the height of intolerance to punish individuals, organizations, businesses, and churches that have moral standards or sexual conduct and sexual lifestyle, said Thomason, in response to the signing of AB 14. This is another insensitive law that violates people's moral boundaries. Ooh, does it ever. I'm going back to my original here. It says, he posted on his website examples of situations he expects to see developing in California schools under the new requirements. Listen to this. Number one, please turn to chapter 10 entitled Famous Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender People. History tells us that great Americans such as Walt Whitman and Abraham Lincoln were gay, and First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt was lesbian. It's likely that even prominent biblical personas were gay, such as King David of Israel and the Apostle Paul. Until this year, the sexual identities of these and other historical figures have been denied by discriminatory textbooks that reflect adversely on people by ignoring their existence. Number two, children, our new picture book has arrived. This is a fantastic story called Daddy's Wedding. It teaches us that no relationship is bad. See the two men dressed in tuxedos like they're at a wedding? Well, Daddy's Wedding tells us that two men can love each other and even get married. Number three, class, for our contemporary social studies, new, no discriminatory bias component, we have a special speaker this afternoon. He will share his amazing story of growing up as a male trapped in a female's body. Here's another one. Here in our boys' sex education assembly, you need to know that puberty means growing facial hair, a deeper voice, and a growth spurt when you're in junior high. And if you're comfortable with those changes, great. But we're required by law to tell you that some of you may have a different future. Some of you may feel more comfortable with girls and feel like a girl inside. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff you're going to hear. Just a sample. Ray Moore, a spokesman of Exodus Mandate, which advocates Christians give up on public schools and either school their children at home or send them to Christian schools, agreed with Thomason and went further. He said such plans to indoctrinate children in sexual alternatives is not a surprise at all. The pagans are simply obeying their God, he said. But he said how Christians educate their children is part of their walk of faith in obedience to God. You're being irresponsible as a parent to put your child in a public school, Moore said. There's no stopping this movement. I think they're going to take over the entire system in the next 2 to 5 years. I can't predict how fast the virus will run throughout the public school system, but I think it cannot be stopped, he said. If traditional-minded people abandon that system in enough numbers, it will implode. By leaving your children there as a Christian, you're exposing them to extreme moral danger. You can't immunize them within a few hours of Bible study with a few hours of Bible study during the week, he said. And he warned that the rest of the nation could feel the impact of the decision because California is known as a trendsetter in educational practice and policy. California always has been on the cutting edge of trends, sometimes good, sometimes bad, lots of times bad, Moore said. What happens in California sometimes can spread nationwide. Yeah, I do know textbook publishers blow with the wind, Thomason added, whether they blow from Texas or California, because those are the biggest states. That's how they sell books. He said textbook editors now have a new agenda to satisfy if they want to sell their products in California. We could see those new books within a year or two. The result, he said, probably will look like good texts, but they will be just like cultic translations of the Bible, which have bitten people who get them. Capital Resource announced it still holds hope for schools. England announced a referendum intended to take the issue to the people of California and bypass the extremist legislators who approved the plan, and this has been filed. Parents from all over California and the nation have been flooding our office with calls and emails, completely stunned that Schwarzenegger would sign this unbelievable attack on their families, England said. Now that we have filed this referendum, we need every single parent and concerned citizens to join in the battle to defeat SB 777's shocking policies. Well, I just really, you know, shared this with you to help you see that Christians are losing ground. You know, what they thought was their nation is being taken over by the beast. And the most perverse people in the entire world, you know, are taking over, making laws. And even though they are a low percentage of the rest of the people, it's happening. And the world is becoming so utterly corrupt that our little light will shine much better, as I've stated before. I suggest to you that if you're in a state like that, the judgment is coming, and you need to pray about getting out of there, and especially the big sin cities, you know. Get out of the public schools. It hasn't been good for a long time. I mean, this is just a more decrepit move, but it's been lousy for a long time, and they have not treated your children like Christians nor cared what your conviction was all about, you see. So I suggest you pray about that. The Bible doesn't give this responsibility to the state. It gives it to you. The Bible commands us to raise up our children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. That's a promise from God. So don't hand them over to the government. I don't believe the doors will be open all that long, folks, honestly, for you to homeschool children. And they fought it in every state. They fought us from the beginning on down. We've been doing it longer than when we moved over here, we were doing it longer than anybody in the homeschool association around here. We had been doing it longer. In fact, we've been doing it before it was legal. Okay. So, and everybody kind of looked to us, you know, for some advice. But, folks, it's a lot worse now than it was back then. And we considered back then that these pagans couldn't raise our children. They didn't know anything about raising our children. And we're the ones the Lord gives the responsibility for raising our children. You know, raise up a child in the way they should go. Who's that command given to? It's given to the parents. So I suggest you get out of it. And I believe what the man says. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get more and more perverse, especially in these Sodom and Gomorrah cities, you know. And, of course, all of California's leaning that way. So I would get off the far west coast, too, because my God just has prepared it to crack off and fall in the ocean, take a lot of people with it. So, yes, I know we have friends over there. That's why I'm talking to you. You know, I'm telling you that, hey, it's probably time to get out of there. God has set it up for judgment. He's going to make an example. He made an example of New Orleans. I didn't live far from New Orleans. It was a big, dirty city. A lot of sin went on there. It was a Sodom and Gomorrah city. And when I was young and didn't have any common sense, I went there to play sometimes. So I know it's a lousy, dirty city. And God judged it. And he's going to judge California, too. But you see, they're taking our land. What we considered ours, they're taking it back, you know. And, yes, I know this bitter corruption and persecution and all these things is going to make some real Christians, you know. Remember, it takes dirt to break the husk off the seed so that the plant bring forth fruit, right? So, well, we're seeing plenty of dirt, aren't we? And so I just say turn to the Lord with all of your heart ask God to lead you and guide you in this. You know, if you're in one of those big sin cities, you ask God, Lord, where do you want me? Be earnest about it. And ask him where he wants you. Ask him, you know, if you don't want me here, Lord, I'm willing to go. And be sure and warn me before you spank this territory, right?